Blog Talk Radio.
I see some black people looking at me, man. It ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking dish, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas, bitch. Ted Koppel ain't never took this from me. Niggas have. So you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside? Oh, it's Mike Wallace. Run.
Come on.
All the humanity and all the...
Mary had a little lamb, it bleated white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
Today's Wednesday, ain't it? It's hump day!
Right here on Reason Radio on blogtalkradio.com on this March 28th, 2012.
Let me just get right to it, folks. The Trayvon Martin thing, it ain't over. Even though not many people are reporting about Trayvon Martin today, the story's dying down a little bit. I'm not going to say it's at the precipice of falling off a cliff and dying and no one talks about it. No, not yet. But it's dying down a little bit. It's getting slower coverage, less coverage. Probably now so because some morons have started to get involved in this case. And you know who they are. And if you don't, let me be the first to tell you. The likes of Spike Lee. Now, I reported this yesterday when I saw it. And I wanted to make sure that I got all the entire story. But I it turns out that I did. I knew the whole thing. I'll be the first to tell you that Spike Lee is a complete moron. Always said it, always will. He's a moron. What I find really, really odd, you guys familiar with Don Lemon from CNN?
Yeah.
Okay, he's the news reporter, I believe recently came out of the closet, uber liberal, wears it on his sleeve. Well, he was finally, and I give him credit, he was finally one of the people who finally decided to report on Spike Lee's little mishap. For those of you who don't know, we had the spokesperson for the new Black Panther Party on the show 2 days ago, on Monday. And the new Black Panther Party put out a $10,000 reward for the capture of George Zimmerman, the shooter of Trayvon Martin. And I asked Sean Qualley, the spokesperson, whether or not this was a bounty and whether or not he was going to be putting people's lives in jeopardy. He was sending unarmed citizens or even armed citizens to this man's whereabouts to bring him in and whether or not that was going to create a quagmire, a melee, or whatever. And then Spike Lee goes and does the unthinkable, knowing that there is a bounty out for George Zimmerman.
The shooting and killing of unarmed Florida teen Trayvon Martin has captured the attention of people all across this nation, including celebrities. But a move by film director Spike Lee reportedly has one Florida group living in fear. One Florida couple, I should say, living in fear. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Lee wrongly retweeted the address of the couple as that of George Zimmerman, the neighborhood watch volunteer who killed Martin. CNN's entertainment correspondent Nichelle Turner, live in Los Angeles, with the detail. Okay, so what happened?
Well, a lot, apparently, Don. But what seems to have happened here was that Spike actually passed along information without checking it out. Now, as you said, he retweeted a message with what he thought was George Zimmerman's address. Well, the smoking gun says the house actually belongs to an elderly couple in their 70s, Elaine and David McLean. Now, Elaine reportedly has a son from a previous marriage. His name is William George Zimmerman. So it looks like someone found that out and assumed it was George Zimmerman. Now, Spike has removed his tweet, but the damage has already been done. You know, the couple have reportedly felt threatened enough to leave their home. And if you look at some of the Twitter traffic around this, you can certainly understand their fears. It's pretty nasty. But, Don, the bigger question may be here, even if that information was true, why would you send that out? Why would you retweet it?
Yeah. All right.
It's someone's address.
Yeah, I know. Let's move on now and talk about Jane Fonda as Nancy.
He doesn't respond? Don Lemon, he couldn't even criticize Spike Lee.
Did this jackass say, let's move on?
Yes, he did!
Like it didn't mean anything?
Like
if
it didn't
that
matter.
Was my grandparent?
Like it didn't matter. It was
wow.
You've got to see the video, of course. Once you see the video, you will be stunned. Because the look on his face is, he's clearly embarrassed for Spike Lee. Which isn't your job, Lemon. Your job is to report. He's so, okay, let's move on. Like, he is so, I mean, can you imagine if Rush Limbaugh had done this?
Oh, there'd be hell to pay.
Come on, lynch him in
there'd
a back alley.
There'd be hell to pay.
I mean, come on. But Spike Lee, it's sort of, oops, just a silly gaffe. And what makes this even more insane, JC and Mary, what makes this even scarier is that Spike Lee has refused to apologize.
How could you refuse to apologize?
He's refusing to apologize.
He's such a moron. He's always been a moron. He's a... Okay, I won't say it. He's an idiot. He's just an idiot.
And
why, even if that was their address... Why would you tweet their address? And you know, I mean, what George Zimmerman did is what he did. His parents and his family have nothing
to do with
that. They didn't tell him, go outside and shoot that kid walking down the block.
That's right.
So why would you do that? I mean, like, who the hell are you? Are you, oh, you're a smartass now? Oh, I'm Spike Lee. Freaking Napoleon syndrome. He's such an idiot.
But he doesn't apologize, and Don Lemon says, let's move on. More pressing news, Jane Fonda is going to be Nancy Reagan. That's the next story he was getting into.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Dude, you heard it yourself.
I hope he's got a Facebook page.
Who, Don Lemon?
Yeah.
Of course he does.
Okay.
Of course he does.
That's how I got my 15 minutes out of this.
It's insane.
Hold on.
Now, I got to be honest with you guys. You got to forgive me for a second, folks, because I really, really wanted to make sure that I got James Montgomery in on the show today, and I have no idea where he is. I'm calling him now to find out which one is his number, the bottom or the top. I don't know which one is, but we got to call him. We've got to call him today. Because, again, this Trayvon Martin thing has gone ape today.
Listen, I could get Spike Lee should be ashamed.com for $9.99.
Oh, we don't need that. We don't need that. Let me
no,
tell you
I
what.
Want.
You want to create
want my
15 a
15 minutes.
Well,
yeah.
Well, shouldn't you just create a free Facebook page?
Then I can't sell advertising on it.
Say again.
Then I can't sell advertising on it.
okay. Well, no, but you don't.
If Obama can, I can.
Well, you know what? It's funny that you mentioned that. That's the reason why I want James to call in. Because, as I reported yesterday, the Obama campaign put out the Obama hoodie.
And then the NRA put out their
hoodie. Right. And then the NRA, they put out the hoodie with the little concealed gun compartment. I'm sorry. It's gone haywire. But there's a very important thing that I want to mention about this Trayvon Martin case. And that is, it has become a political football in a sense. Now, we all know what Obama said when he was asked about it inadvertently. Do you have any response to the shooting of Trayvon Martin? And unlike his response to Skip, why am I forgetting the professor's name in Harvard? Unlike the way he handled that by saying that the police acted stupidly, when they did not, which forced them to have the beer summit. But this time, okay, he treaded water, he treaded lightly and said, you know, it's a horrible thing. And then he makes the gaffe where he says, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. I don't know why that's relevant. I guess because you're a
did
black
man. Did he say that?
Yes, he did. Dude, you didn't hear that?
Oh, yes, he did, JC.
He said, if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon. Now,
I wonder if he would swing like him on bus drivers, too.
Yeah, exactly. But, again, because there was a little racial identity there, people kind of went after him. Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum, both presidential candidates, went after Barack Obama, and they said, look, you're creating divisiveness by making that statement. You can be upset about the fact that this young boy died, but don't marginalize it by saying he would look like you. Because the white boy a month or two ago that was set on fire by black kids, would you have responded by saying that white boy, if you had a son, would look like you? No, you wouldn't. No.
He could have said if he had a son with a white woman.
Yes, exactly. But the bottom line is that that's where he got crap for it, because he said that. But then something interesting happened today with Andrea Martin on MSNBC. And I want to play for you what it was that was said in lieu of the criticism by Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum to, Bill O'Reilly's talking about it now, but nobody's going to say anything to him about it. Let me get to this thing. Let's go to this Trayvon Martin case. Okay, so the deputy campaign manager for the Obama administration is a woman by the name of Stephanie Cutter. She said this to Andrea Mitchell.
Well, his Republican opponents have jumped all over him because they do want to play politics with this issue. The president spoke from his heart on this and was trying to empathize with some parents who had just lost a child by any measure. This was a tragedy, and we need to let the investigation take its course. I noticed that one of your reporters said today the leaks have to stop coming out of the Trayvon Martin case, and people have to stop politicizing it. It's no surprise that some of our Republican opponents are trying to make an issue with this, but the president spoke from the heart, and we need to let the investigation take its course.
Now, I want you to hear, this is the deputy... the deputy campaign manager for the Obama administration. So if she's so concerned about the politicizing of this case, please explain to me this.
He was executed for WWB in a GC, walking while black, in a gated community.
Let me play it one more time.
He was executed for WWB in a GC, walking while black, in a gated community.
The person responsible for that soundbite is a gentleman by the name of Hank Johnson.
Which is in Barack Obama's first
party. Nope. Not only is he in the political party, he's the Democrat from Georgia. He said it today. It gets better. Here's another soundbite.
Mr. Speaker, this is Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin's murderer is still at large. It's been 1 month, 30 days with no arrest. I want America to see this sweet young boy who was hunted down like a dog, shot in the street, and his killer is still at large. Not one person has been arrested in Trayvon's murder. I want to make sure that America knows that in Sanford, Florida, there was a young boy murdered. He is buried in Miami, Florida, and not one person has been arrested, even though we all know who the murderer is. This was a standard case of racial profiling. No more. No more. We will stand for justice for Trayvon Martin. Mr. Speaker, I reserve the balance of my time.
That was Frederica Wilson, Democrat from Florida, on the House floor today. It gets better. It gets way better. Right outside the House, this soundbite happened on CNN.
His mother described it perfectly. She said it's a character assassination. We're seeing a lot of facts unveiled each day. As each day goes by, we learn more and more about not only this character assassination and the leaks, but what happened the night of his death. We're learning, just as you opened this program with, that the lead investigator said that this Zimmerman should be charged with manslaughter, and it was overturned literally by the state's attorney. When we first heard about this case, we didn't know that. An investigation must go on. The Justice Department must be on the ground. They've got to be involved with this. There are too many unanswered questions, and I really personally believe this is a hate crime.
Congressman Waters, let me just follow up on that. That's been a concern of mine, that we've been willing to jump to conclusions this might be a hate crime, or willing to explore very important conversations about race, but almost at the expense of the facts in this case. And you just talked about how important they are, and we're still learning them, and that we don't know all of them. Do you think we've given fair treatment to the actual facts in this case? What happened on that night?
Listen, a 17-year-old young man is dead. He was killed after it has been revealed that he was being followed. He was not committing a crime. He was not armed. And so as we listen to the 911 calls and we listen to and hear about conversations that Trayvon was having with his girlfriend, no. I don't
think
that
I'm... You heard enough facts. You think we can't draw conclusions?
I am not... Well, let me just say this. The evidence really points to a fact that you had a gung-ho so-called neighborhood watchman who wanted to be a cop, basically, who was following a young black man who was unarmed and had committed no crime. That's pretty stiff evidence that this is possibly a hate crime. In addition to that, there are those who have listened to some of these tapes, and they hear some words. And we want to continue to know more about the words that were being said by Mr. Zimmerman, because they appear to be words that would certainly lead you to believe that this was a hate crime.
Congressman Waters is talking about the curse, of course, and then what sounds, at least to me, like a racial slur that occurs about 2 minutes and 20 seconds into that 911 call with the dispatcher between...
So I just want to make sure that I get this clear. So hold on. Now, this is the head, the deputy campaign manager for the Obama administration, talking about politicizing Trayvon Martin.
Well, his Republican opponents have jumped all over him because they do want to play politics with this issue. The president spoke from his heart on this and was trying to empathize with some parents who have just lost a child. By any measure, this was a tragedy. And we need to let the investigation take its course. I noticed that one of your reporters said today, the leaks have to stop coming out of the Trayvon Martin case, and people have to stop politicizing it. So you know, it's no surprise that some of our Republican opponents are trying to make an issue with this, but the president spoke from the heart, and we need to let the investigation take its course.
So we need to let the investigation take its course. We so far heard from Hank Johnson, Democrat from Georgia, saying that Trayvon Martin was walking while black in a gated community and was shot down like a dog. We got Frederica Wilson, Democrat from Florida, saying that she wants everybody to know that Trayvon Martin was murdered. And we got Maxine Waters, who says that she doesn't really care about whether or not George Zimmerman gets his fair trial, because to her, Trayvon Martin was murdered and it's a hate crime. Even though she's asked repeatedly, don't we have to get the facts in this case? But she keeps using the words murdered and hate crime. But she's already made an assessment. He doesn't need a trial. We've figured this out. Court of public opinion. Those are three Democrats politicizing. You've heard nothing from Romney. You've heard nothing from Gingrich. You've heard nothing from Santorum about them politicizing this. But wait a minute. There is more. And this is my favorite one. This is Democrat Bobby Rush of Illinois on the House floor today.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It is indeed an American tragedy. Too often, this violent act that resulted in the murder of Trayvon Martin is repeated in the streets of our nation. I applaud the young people all across the land who are making a statement about hoodies, about the real hoodlums in this nation, particularly those who tread on our laws wearing official or quasi-official clothes. Racial profiling has to stop, Mr. Speaker. Just because someone wears a hoodie does not make them a hoodlum. The Bible teaches us, Mr. Speaker, in the book of Micah 6:6-8,
the member will suspend.
These words.
The member will.
These
suspend.
Words. He has shown you, O man.
The member will
what is
suspend.
Good,
the chair must remind
what does
members
not,
of clause
what does
five
the Lord
of
require
17,
you, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And in the New Testament, Luke 4:18-20, teaches us these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free. I urge all who hear these words to heed these lessons. May God bless Trayvon Martin's soul, his family.
The member is no longer recognized.
He had to be
removed. The
chair
will ask the sergeant at arms to enforce the prohibition on decor. The chair must remind members that Clause 5 of Rule 17 prohibits the wearing of hats in the chamber when the House is in session. The chair finds that the donning of a hood is not consistent with this rule. Members need to remove their hoods or leave the floor.
That's right. Bobby Rush, while giving his speech on the House floor, took off his jacket and revealed a hoodie and put it on with sunglasses.
What is he like, 95?
I don't know how. Well, he's an older gentleman. He's a former Black Panther. But he stood on the House floor and put on a hoodie. And I've got to hear from the deputy campaign manager of the Obama administration,
well,
say this?
His Republican opponents have jumped all over him because they do want to play politics with this issue. The president spoke from his heart on this and was trying to empathize with some parents who have just lost a child by any measure. This was a tragedy, and we need to let the investigation take its course. I noticed that one of your reporters said today, the leaks have to stop coming out of the Trayvon Martin case, and people have to stop politicizing it. It's no surprise that some of our Republican opponents are trying to make an issue with this, but the president spoke from the heart, and we need to let the investigation take its course.
So who's politicizing it? Ladies and gentlemen, who's politicizing it?
It's the Democratic Party.
Yeah, seriously, who's politicizing it? You've not heard anything. I've not heard anything. The only thing Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum said was, do not make this a race issue. A young man was killed. A young man was killed. It's got nothing to do with his race. Whether or not he was culpable, whether or not George Zimmerman was culpable, you let the facts come out. But the President of the United States does not need to chime in on a local matter, even to the point where he talks about how the boy would look like him if he were his son. Who's politicizing it, James?
First of all, a man had to
be removed from the House floor because he came in and donned a hoodie, violating the freaking protocol in the House. And when he's being told that he's violating it, he completely disavows that to give on this long speech about the Bible. I mean, politicizing, come on. This thing is happening in the freaking House chamber? Maxine Waters is convicting the guy before any jury has even seen the evidence?
Well, you know, according to some people, all right, there would have been no evidence seen at all. Okay, let's just keep this on an even keel here, because no matter what, it's a tragedy, yes. But this was going to be political, regardless. All right? Whether you said something or you didn't, it's still a political issue. Stereotyping is a political issue.
No, it wasn't politicized. It was politicized by the Democrats and the Congressional Black Caucus when they brought Trayvon Martin's family to a subcommittee. What are they bringing a local matter all the way to Washington to have the parents speak?
Because it's not just a local matter. This is happening all over the country.
No.
And there needs to be at least a moratorium on it.
Wait, because it's getting out of hand.
It's getting out of hand.
You're telling me that it's getting out of hand? Where are the other cases? Where a 17-year-old unarmed boy was shot by a white male or an alleged white male. And in this case, it was a Spanish male. So where are these cases?
All right, just because you're Spanish does not make you not a racist.
Okay, fair enough.
A lot of Spanish people don't like black people either.
Fair enough. So I'll, again, what other stories have been prominent in the news? This is being used as a political football.
And that's another thing that we've been saying. It hasn't been prominent in the news. But you know what? When you're in the neighborhoods and you hear this stuff, these type of things happening, and it's like, again, we are relegated to the side. We are asked to step back, let the investigation happen. And what usually happens is it's hushed up and allowed to just fade away.
But should our members of
which is what they're also trying to do with this case. They are now trying to demonize or vilify the victim here.
That's what they're doing in the media. But again, I'm still asking. You're talking about the media, and you're talking about press, journalists, writers, whatever the case may be. But in what way should people who are in Congress be out? This is a woman. Frederica Wilson said that he was murdered. He's not been convicted by a jury of his peers. You can't call anybody a murderer just off its face, James. That's just as bad as calling James. It's just like calling me a child rapist, dude. It's the same thing.
No. Okay.
Yes,
No. And it's definitely not the same thing. Because you've been raked over the coals. This has been allowed to go on, especially with your case. It's been allowed to go on and go on and go on and go on and go on. And clearly, when all the evidence has been heard and the veracity of your accuser has been called into question, it's still allowed to go on and go on and go on and go on and go on. Why?
Well, because that's because the prosecutor is bound by law that unless the accuser recants, unless she recants.
And as a matter of fact, didn't she? Or now she refuses to get on stand, and
right,
he still
refuses. But again,
it
doesn't matter. She said, even though she says she doesn't want to get on the stand, she's not recanted her statement. She is not saying that it did not happen or she lied. She is not recanting. So they are bound by law to prosecute. If they do not, they CPL law, criminal procedure law, forbids them from just dropping the case unless she recants. And they cannot do it. They are bound by law. That's a different thing. In this case, there has been no prosecution to indict him whatsoever.
There's been no prosecution.
No.
There's
that's
been no
fine.
Prosecution because they even refused to arrest him.
But that's my point, James, is that you cannot let people in Congress dictate what it is that the authorities are supposed to do. You let them do their job. This is the deputy mayor.
But when they're clearly not doing their job, then someone has to step in. Okay? Again, this man, all right, after 47 false alarms, he shoots a guy.
We're not disputing
and frankly,
that, James.
Hold on.
James,
all right.
I'm not disputing that.
Well, once again, what I'm saying is, clearly, something was not done. So someone has to step in and make sure this was done because it should have been.
James,
it's clear it should have been.
What is Maxine Waters going to do? What's Maxine Waters going to do?
Well, how about putting pressure and putting – or at least putting something on the floor so this kind of tragedy is at least curbed.
Pressuring them to do what, James? To convict him?
To convict him? Well,
James, her words.
At least.
Did you not hear her words? She says evidence shows that this is a hate crime. Based on what?
Based on what? The fact that he was stalked. He was hunted. The man was told not to get out of the car.
No, James, I said hate
crime. The
hate
man.
Crime. How is this
okay.
a hate crime?
The man is also on record clearly saying something. To where either he was he tired of people getting away, all right?
Well, that's fine.
Whether they
use one word
or not, okay? So that's a clear you can at least put that he was hating the fact that who he thought was criminals getting away.
But James, okay, try this on for size, okay? MSNBC on their website and I'll read the story to you. In a published report, byline by MSNBC.com staff and NBC News, a quote attributed to Trayvon Martin shooter George Zimmerman appears to be purposefully distorted by the left to read as though Zimmerman is a racist. A full reading of the transcript of the quoted 911 call suggests nothing of the kind. But here's what NBC staff and NBC News published. This is the quote. This guy looks like he's up to no good. He looks black, Zimmerman told police dispatcher from his car. His father has said that Zimmerman is Hispanic, grew up in a multiracial family, and is not a racist. That's what the MSNBC website says. Here's what the exact quote is in the 911 tapes. Zimmerman, this guy looks like he's up to no good or is on drugs or something. It's raining, and he's just walking around looking about. 911 dispatcher says, okay, is he white, black, Hispanic? Zimmerman responds, he looks black. MSNBC says, this guy looks like he's up to no good. He looks black. He only answers what he's asked by the dispatcher. So tell me how in the 911 tapes – this looks like a racially motivated crime.
Okay. All right. If he looks black, then after he's asked that, okay.
Yeah, he doesn't say there's this black guy walking around. He says there's this guy walking around in the rain. He looks suspicious or he's on drugs or something. It's raining. So he can't really see because he's probably, if I get this correct, Trayvon Martin was wearing his hoodie and he was probably covering his hoodie because he was on his phone and he was covering
up. He was on his phone?
Right. Well, meaning he probably had his earpiece in or something. that was covering up from getting wet? Because if anything, George Zimmerman would see him on the phone. But I believe, and I'm almost certain about this, that he was wearing a wireless headset. That he was wearing like a Bluetooth or something. So he can't see that. So if the guy looks like he's walking around, probably because he's outside talking to his girlfriend. I'm not disputing whether or not he looked suspicious to George Zimmerman was a reason for him to step to him. I'm not saying that. But my point is, James, is that this is being pushed over and over again that George Zimmerman sought him out because he was black, but clearly in the transcript, nothing of the sort is said. And my point is that here is a woman who is an elected representative of California who says, and I quote, that the evidence to her appears that this is a race crime. Do you need to hear it again? The woman says it. It comes out of her own mouth.
Well, I think his mother described it perfectly. She said it's a character assassination. We're seeing a lot of facts unveiled each day. As each day goes by, we learn more and more about not only this character assassination and the leaks, but what happened the night of his death. We're learning, just as you opened this program with, that the lead investigator said that this Zimmerman should be charged with manslaughter, and it was overturned literally by the state's attorney. When we first heard about this case, we didn't know that. An investigation must go on. The Justice Department must be on the ground. They've got to be involved with this. There are too many unanswered questions, and I really personally believe this is a hate crime.
Congressman Waters, let me just follow up on that. That's been a concern of mine, that we've been willing to jump to conclusions this might be a hate crime, or willing to explore very important conversations about race, but almost at the expense of the facts in this case. And you just talked about how important they are, and we're still learning them, and that we don't know all of them. Do you think we've given fair treatment to the actual facts in this case? What happened on that night?
Listen, a 17-year-old young man is dead. He was killed after it has been revealed that he was being followed. He was not committing a crime. He was not armed. And so as we listen to the 911 calls and we listen to and hear about conversations that Trayvon was having with his girlfriend, no. I don't
think
that
you heard enough facts. You think we can't draw conclusions?
I am not. Well, let me just say this. The evidence really points to a fact that you had a gung-ho so-called neighborhood watchman who wanted to be a cop, basically, who was following a young black man who was unarmed and had committed no crime. That's pretty stiff evidence that this is possibly a hate crime. In addition to that,
she said that is pretty stiff evidence that this is possibly. Dude,
possibly.
What kind of double talk is that? There is stiff.
Oh, come on,
evidence.
Wait a minute. She never came out and actually said it. I mean, you've used the same kind of speak. So how is it?
No, I've never ever said.
Used...
No. I've never said, James, that this is stiff evidence that it's a possibility. Dude, stiff evidence is a yes or no. It's a confirmation. This woman said this is stiff evidence that it was possibly a hate crime. Come on, dude.
There are facts enough to show that it can be inferred.
She said,
right? At least you have to look at it like it must, like it can be.
James,
all right? You
James,
can't just toss it off.
James, stiff evidence, man? Her words, not
stiff
mine.
Evidence.
That
look,
this was possibly? Whoa. This is stiff evidence that it was or was not. Not stiff evidence that it could be. There's no such thing, James. It's no such thing. Stiff evidence that it was possibly a hate crime? Come on, man. That's like, dude, I'll go right back to my case. There's stiff evidence that I could have possibly raped the girl.
Really? Where was this stiff evidence?
That's
what I want to know. Going back to your case, because all this stiff evidence should have never even been stiff evidence. Right?
Again, the point is, why would somebody like Maxine Waters say something so erroneous? Stiff evidence that this is possibly a hate crime? The facts are not out. She's got none of the facts. She's only going by what leaks. All of us are saying the same thing. We don't know what happened. Maxine Waters has seen the same evidence or same information that all of us have seen. Yet she has drawn a conclusion. And then to have the deputy campaign manager for the Obama administration suggest that Republicans are using this as a political football and politicizing it when all of these Democrats are on the House floor, James. They're in the chambers of freaking Congress. And they're talking about Trayvon Martin was murdered. You can't call
Trayvon
anybody
Martin was murdered. That was a murder.
No, James.
He was murdered.
Not
he was murdered.
Unarmed. James, you cannot call, based on our law, James, nobody is murdered until you are convicted by a jury of your peers, man. You can't call anybody a murderer until that is.
I didn't say George Zimmerman was a murderer, all right? But
he was killed, James. That's the only facts we have. He was killed, James. He was killed at the hands of George Zimmerman. Whether or not he was murdered remains to be seen, man. It remains to be seen until
the end. This wasn't some tragic accident, Reese.
We don't know that. You were
not. You don't know that. The boy was stalked. Okay, the boy was stalked. And let's talk about the tapes that we've heard of what's leaked. Okay, let's talk about the phone calls where he's on the phone. All right, and you clearly hear Trayvon screaming to high heaven. How is it if this man was attacked, you never hear a word from him?
Actually, James, it's come out recently that those screams, according to this John person that was a witness, that it was George Zimmerman who's screaming on that tape.
George Zimmerman.
Yeah, dude, that's what he says. He says that he was the one screaming for help, not Trayvon Martin. And it's never been confirmed that it was Trayvon screaming. Never been confirmed. The only witness who's even come forward is that gentleman, John, who said he saw the whole thing when he called the cops, and he says that it was George Zimmerman screaming when Trayvon was on top of him. So we cannot draw any conclusions here, James.
Conclusions. Oh, wow.
Do you really think it's okay for Frederica Wilson to be suggesting that Trayvon Martin was murdered and his murderer? I mean, you understand that this woman doesn't know anything about the facts. She's only talking about what she heard and what she thinks. Listen to what she said.
Mr. Speaker, this is Trayvon Martin. Trayvon Martin's murderer is still at large.
Murderer.
It's been 1 month, 30 days with no arrest. I want America to see this sweet young boy.
Sweet.
Who was hunted down like a dog.
Hunted down like a dog.
In the street. And his killer is still at large. Not one person has been arrested in Trayvon's murder. I want to make sure that America knows that in Sanford, Florida, there was a young boy murdered. He is buried in Miami, Florida, and not one person has been arrested, even though we all know who the murderer is. This was a standard case of racial profiling. No more. No more. We will stand for justice for Trayvon Martin.
Come on, man. We all know. James, the biggest problem in this case is that we don't know what we don't know. That's the part that's been befuddling all of us.
Let me jump in here real quick. Now, knowing what we now know of Trayvon Martin, and I think we talked about it last night, and I've been talking about it with quite a few people because I have a lot of my friends that are kind of pissed off at me because, like everybody else who's really over-emotional about it, nobody really knew who this kid was, and they're painting this kid out to be an angel when, in fact, dude was actually a menace, and he's not, and they paint him out to
how
be
a menace. How was he a menace? Wait a minute. Where was he a menace?
Hold on. Let me finish. They paint him up to be this little kid, and they keep showing pictures of him when he's 12 years old. This kid, from what I've seen and from his recent picture that he just took with his family, He's the tallest person in his family. Unless he comes from a family of midgets, he's not a small individual. That's one. Two, I'm sure that when he, when whomever approached whom, I'm sure that George Zimmerman got his ass whooped. I'm almost willing to bet that George got his ass whooped. But I still stand by that if George had not followed him, and had not as 911 had asked him not to, I don't think we'd be having this conversation today.
Okay, wait a minute. All right,
but
now let's
kid,
get back to
now. The kid being a menace.
Hmm.
You should read some of the stuff that he wrote on his Facebook and Twitter. And the fact that he was, I mean, he was swinging on bus drivers. Who beats up a school bus driver?
He's swinging on a bus driver.
I mean, those are his words.
So, again,
those are his words.
All right. He swung on a bus driver.
Unless someone hacked his Twitter account or his Facebook account. And he was at his father's house out of school because he got suspended for marijuana. But regardless, none of that matters. None of that matters. The only thing that matters
none of that
is
matters.
What happened at the
And
point.
That still does not make him a
You're
menace.
Right.
All right? It doesn't make him a menace. And it doesn't make him guilty of any crime. All right? Because no matter what you can tie him to before, all right, with his Facebook or whatever happened before that night, on that night, he was doing nothing wrong. At all.
Again, I just said that, James. Nothing matters except
okay.
what happened that night, that very minute.
Yeah. Okay, now, again, I keep saying again.
Well, no. The reason why I said menace.
Let me ask you something. If you see a stranger coming out of the dark or coming out of a car, especially in today's world, all right, coming out of a car, coming to you, he's made no effort to identify himself or anything, what's the first thing you're going to do? If he tries to grab you, or if he tries to do something, what are you going to do? You're going to stand there and let him do it?
No,
you're
going to
punch him in the face, right?
Yeah, right, but James, that woman just called him an angel. She didn't know that he was an angel. She said they killed this angel. Everybody's too wrapped up emotionally in this without knowing exactly what went on or without knowing the facts. And because there are so much time has gone by and the smear campaigns have begun, nobody never ever gonna know the truth except the two people that were out there that night or maybe except for this witness. But like I said, any of this would not be going on if Zimmerman had listened to what 911 told him not to do.
Yeah, and none of this would have been going. None of this would be as there wouldn't be such a fervor if he was at least detained. Because again, you know, and now everyone's coming out with facts about the victim here. All right, but they say almost nothing about the fact that he was a man again who had given in 47 false alarms. He finally shoots a guy, and basically he's told, hey, man, after 47 tries, you finally got one. They gave him a pat on the butt and told him to go home and have a beer.
No, but, James, we knew that the day after.
But, again, 47 tries. He shoots a guy,
yeah.
And you don't even question it.
Jay-Z.
I agree. I said he got favoritism because his father was a judge.
And then to sit
okay.
on it for 2 weeks.
A month. We're
well,
never going to know.
No, and the thing is, we never would have known had the parents not put it out and got the fervor and got the uproar. It would have been pushed under the rug. So, yeah, people are upset. And they have every right to be.
James, as you point out about everybody being upset, the bottom line still remains this, which is very important, okay, is that if you're just responding based upon, you know, how angry you are, and that means that that is, gives everybody a reason to discard the facts, then we have a bigger issue, James. That's the reason you don't like the system. So now we can just, if we all agreed that George Zimmerman murdered him, then we must put this guy in jail. And because we all agree, forget about due process. It means nothing.
What I'm saying is, all right,
Are you suggesting that, though? Hold on.
There was no due process in the first place. So
there
don't just
now.
Blame it on us.
There
yeah, and
right
look what
now.
Had to happen for that to happen.
What had to happen? It had to get national attention.
Yeah, it had to get national attention. Because,
okay, so
again,
fine, the process. Okay, fine. We're not. I'm not disputing that. Yes. Look, we've never disputed that the Sanford, Florida Police Department was negligent here. And they're going to have to deal with a crap load of stuff. But people politicizing this is the issue. Should they be politicizing it? Yes or no? The answer is no.
I think that, again, attention should be paid on it. Because profiling has been a long-standing problem. And it's been treated as a local problem when it's not. It's more wide-reaching than that. And
well, that's true.
Once again, you're getting results, and you tend to get the same results, all right? Sooner or later, somebody steps over the line. And nothing is, and almost nothing is done to curb it.
So what do you, okay, so you're saying that Maxine Waters, Frederica Wilson, Hank Johnson, why am I forgetting this guy's name, the last guy's name? Whatever his name is, you're telling me that each and every one of them who flat out have called this something that we only presume it is, that that's enough.
I'm saying that again. It is my personal belief, and yes, with the facts, there's too many holes here, too many holes for me not to say that, you know what, you can at least look at it like a hate crime. All right? There's just too many holes in his story and everyone else's who clearly tried to cover this up. If there was nothing wrong and if it was above board all the way, why was it tried to be covered up?
James, I don't know about covered up. This wasn't covered. Tell me where the cover-up was.
The cover-up was that I actually let this man go without even a cursory glance, and then to sit on it.
Well, I don't agree with your assessment that it was sat upon, because if this never, let's put it this way, if the Sanford Police Department had any cover-up, we wouldn't know about the case at all. We wouldn't know anything. The press wouldn't know. Nobody would know. Okay? If they did anything to cover it up. They had to marginalize the family. They covered the news story just like any other news story, but it caught attention. People were outraged about it. People made phone calls. People made some noise.
But you just said they tried to marginalize the family, right? They tried to keep the family at bay.
No, I said they would have marginalized the family if they had, but they didn't. They didn't marginalize the family. The family was able to speak out. Family was able to call the local news. Family was able to get some traction on the story.
Sanford
never once said, "Hey, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're doing." They turned around and they answered questions. They said, look, they got a vote of no confidence for the sheriff. He's gone. They brought in a special prosecutor, but then it caught like wildfire, and now all of a sudden it's a cover-up? Come on. It's not a cover-up.
It was
clear negligence on the part of the Sanford Police Department by not getting the facts. By the way, did you see the video today that came out of George Zimmerman?
No.
Do you know that he was brought to the precinct in handcuffs?
Oh, so he has been arrested.
He was at where the shooting took place, he was placed in handcuffs and driven to the precinct. Everyone else would tell you that he was allowed to. Everybody else, when they first reported this story, that the police handed in his gun back and kept it moving. Not true, James. Today they showed the video of him arrested, getting out of the police car, going into the garage, being escorted into the police station, and processed. That is what happened. Based on his information, they let him go. So he was placed in handcuffs after the shooting. So
yeah,
all it is,
placed in handcuffs.
But they, but no one told
that
you
that. Because you can't get in the car, all right, if you're have any involvement in a crime, you can't be placed in the car without you being in cuffs. Any cop in the world will tell you that.
No, actually, no, you have to sit. No, that's not true. I've sat in the back of police cars, and I've never been put in cuffs. Never.
Were you either the aggressor or the victim?
No, I would neither one.
Right. If you're actually a part of the crime, then as procedure, if you're sitting in the back, you're supposed to be cuffed.
James, not true. Trust me, I've been in this situation before.
All right, it's not true, but you know what? I've heard cop after cop tell me that. All right, but fine. Okay, you know better. Again. All right. Okay.
But let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue with this story. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values. But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
I see some black people looking at me, man. It ain't us, it's the media. It ain't us, it's the media. The media has distorted our image to make us look bad. Why must you come down on us like that, brother? It ain't us, it's the media. Please cut the fucking bitch, okay? 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 When I go to the money machine tonight, all right? I ain't looking over my back for the media. I'm looking for niggas, bitch. Pet couple ain't never took this shit from me. Niggas have. So you think I got three guns in my house because the media outside? Oh, it's Mike Wallace. Run!
Come on.
All the humanity, all the...
Mary had a little lamb and she was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Yeah, I'm super cool.
I never once said, na-da-da.
I think everyone wants to know where we came from and how the universe began.
You know what I'm saying?
I have sinned against you.
And 1 minute after the hour on this hump day, March 28, 2012. And was it just 2 minutes after the hour, actually? And we talked about this the last hour. I'm actually going to save the last story for last in regards to the Trayvon Martin case. You guys remember on Monday we had a conversation with the leader of the spokesperson, I should say, not the leader. He's the spokesperson for the new Black Panther Party, who was our guest, Sean Quali, was here on our show. You can go to ReeseOnTheRadio.com to listen to that interview in its entirety, if you wish to. It's apparently getting a lot of hits on the website, so he's been promoting it. I guess I could say thank you, Mr. Quali, for promoting your own interview. But we talked about the bounty, as it were, on George Zimmerman's head, to bring him to justice, and they're calling it a citizen's arrest. But, you know, I failed to mention the fact that there was also some posters that were saying George Zimmerman wanted dead or alive, and apparently that was being promoted by the Black Panther Party. That being said, this story came out yesterday, and I brought it up, but I wanted to play it again because CNN had mentioned it. Don Lemon, who's the host of a show on CNN, brought this up. I don't know what you can call her, an entertainment reporter, brought her in to talk about how this is affecting certain individuals.
The shooting and killing of unarmed Florida teen Trayvon Martin has captured the attention of people all across this nation, including celebrities. But a move by film director Spike Lee reportedly has one Florida group living in fear. One Florida couple, I should say, living in fear. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Lee wrongly retweeted the address of the couple as that of George Zimmerman, the neighborhood watch volunteer who killed Martin. CNN's entertainment correspondent Nichelle Turner, live in Los Angeles, with the detail. Okay, so what happened?
Well, a lot, apparently, Don. But what seems to have happened here was that Spike actually passed along information without checking it out. Now, as you said, he retweeted a message with what he thought was George Zimmerman's address. Well, the smoking gun says the house actually belongs to an elderly couple in their 70s, Elaine and David McLean. Now, Elaine reportedly has a son from a previous marriage. His name is William George Zimmerman. So it looks like someone found that out and assumed it was George Zimmerman. Now, Spike has removed his tweet, but the damage has already been done. You know, the couple have reportedly felt threatened enough to leave their home. And if you look at some of the Twitter traffic around this, you can certainly understand their fears. It's pretty nasty. But, Don, the bigger question may be here, even if that information was true, why would you send that out? Why would you retweet it?
Yeah. All right.
It's someone's address.
Yeah, I know. Let's move on now and talk about Jane Fonda as Nancy.
Can't defend it. Don Lemon, fighter for the left. Come on. You got an opinion about everything else. You say nothing. The reason why I played that little bit in the beginning is for that simple reason. The whores. People trying to get notoriety. Trying to get notoriety, some sort of play out of the whole thing. That's why I play. It's them whores again. That's who they are. That's right, it's them whores again. That's who they are. So, James, JC, Spike Lee, what should we do with them?
Spike Lee.
Yeah.
Actually, there's nothing you need to be doing with Spike Lee. Okay? Now, Spike Lee is culpable too, but it was a retweet, correct?
James? The Black Panther Party
yes
has
or no,
put
was
out...
it a reach? Can you answer my question, please?
What's a reach? What's a reach?
Huh?
What do you mean
I
a reach?
It was a retweet.
He retweeted it.
He retweeted
yeah.
it, which means somebody tweeted it out.
He got
somebody
tweet
tweeted it
guy,
to him.
Yes, in Los Angeles. He got the tweet. Will Smith got the tweet. Some other celebrities got the tweet.
Well, you need to find the guy who put it out there.
They already did. They already found the guy that tweeted it out there. And he said somebody needs to go out there and reach out and touch it. But here's my question. The guy who originally sent out the tweet only has 4,000 followers. Spike Lee's got a quarter mil.
Yeah, I'm not saying he wasn't culpable.
Yes.
I'm not saying
and,
he was not
wait.
Culpable.
And
too. But the thing is, it's only 4,000 followers.
There is a $10,000 bounty for George Zimmerman, you send out George Zimmerman's address, dude. What are you doing? And
yeah.
no, and
I don't know why you even passing that on. I don't.
Yeah.
But you know, with that 4,000, even though he only had 4,000 followers, all right, somebody else was going to retweet that information.
Oh,
all right,
sure they were. But that's Spike Lee, you're a guy who just 2 months ago held a $1 million fundraiser for Barack Obama, dude.
What?
Yeah, Spike Lee. Spike Lee held $1.5 million fundraiser for Barack Obama.
Okay.
Don't you think that's a little irresponsible for somebody who's playing
in politics? Yes. I do think it was irresponsible for him to retweet that information.
Now, hold on. Now,
and he should have been smart enough to know that, you know, that, I mean, just, come on, that was just, yeah.
That was dangerous. What he did was scare the hell out of them old people.
Dude, 70 and 72-year-old
Spike Lee's ass.
Listen, imagine, you're inciting a lynch mob. Aren't you, James?
Okay. Again?
Yeah.
Right.
There's a $10,000 bounty. They claim it's going up to $1 million, and Spike Lee is giving a $250,000 of his followers the address of someone who's wanted dead or alive by the Black Panther Party.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Now, I've never seen anything about them saying he's one of dead or alive.
Look it up, James. I found it out yesterday.
Look it up where?
It's online. There are pictures of them holding up pictures of George Zimmerman that says $10,000.
I haven't heard nothing about that.
I didn't even know. But I saw the pictures, wanted dead or alive.
And it's, okay, all right. Well, look, I had said the day of the interview that I thought it was irresponsible. I thought instead of placing that money on at least on a citizen's arrest, I thought it should have been used to keep pressure on
elected officials in Sanford to keep this investigation going to the fullest extent.
Yeah.
That's right.
But to
or even aware
person on his head, yeah, which is what they did. And again, I'm not going to shy away from it. It was a damn fool thing to do. All right? It is. And which I said before, because it's going to hurt us in the long run. All right? It's going to hurt the investigation in the long run. And you are also committing the same crime that we're accusing Zimmerman of.
That's correct, James. That's right. I'm so happy that you're saying that. I'm so happy that you're saying that. But trust me, we've got bigger fish to fry. Oh, there are bigger fish to fry. Try this one out for size, James. This is going to make you completely vomit. This is so bad. Should we take a break first before we go into it? Let's just go into it. James, thank God you don't live in New York City. Thank God I don't have any children who go to school in New York City. But this one shocked the hell out of me. In fact, Mary couldn't stop cursing when she heard this story.
Questions today about censorship and what your children are learning in the classroom. The New York City school system is apparently looking to protect students' feelings. So it has instructed the companies that make the testing that comes to children in the school district to avoid certain words and topics in any of these written tests. The offensive language to be banned includes dinosaur. Apparently people who don't believe in evolution might be offended, the school district believes. Halloween, because it's rumored to support paganism.
Oh,
birthday can no longer be mentioned on these exams. Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate birthdays, so nobody else should know about it. Dancing is also a taboo word, unless it is ballet dancing. I have no idea why. And computers. You can't mention computers if you're mentioning them being used in homes because of economic sensitivities. You can mention them as being used in schools and libraries, however.
Where did that fool-ass crap come from?
That is the board of
education. What the hell was that all about?
I have no idea. This political correct stuff is just... That's the bonfire that just needs to be cut. That needs to be put out. Like
James,
really fast.
James, you cannot have a test that talks about home computers because that's because you cannot talk about wealth because there may be some poor students in class.
Dancing.
Thanks for having me talk about lunch.
Yeah, there you go.
That's going to happen next.
Well, frankly, man, we sooner or later you're not going to be able to speak in school at all. I mean, every year there's some new word that'll offend somebody. We've lasted a long time now. All right. Judaism and Islam and all these religions have been around for centuries now. You know, they haven't self-destructed because I have a wreath over my door and you have a menorah in your window.
James, this has got. Remember, they don't want you to learn anything in school.
They don't want to. Yeah, they don't want to let you. Yeah, why even have a school? Dinosaur? Really?
dinosaurs.
Dinosaur.
You cannot even.
You can't
talk
learn
about
dinosaurs, but he's. But, oh my God. Oh my God.
When I hit this Mega Million, I'm moving to the center of Australia. I am. I don't want to be bothered. I talk to you guys on Skype. I'll Skype you guys from Australia.
Yeah. Don't forget, what makes this even more frightening is that, you know, look, curriculum aside, these are people out there who are telling your children what it is that they can and cannot learn, in essence saying that you are supposed to keep it in the home. But wait a minute. Right? You can talk about dinosaurs at home. You can talk about computers at home. You can talk about dancing at home. But we will not talk about those things. But this is the same group of people who say, this is the education system that says, was it Governor Brown in California said that we must have a history class that teaches children how gays contributed to history.
Gays?
Oh, yeah.
Right, we can't talk about dinosaurs and dancing, all right? But we can talk about slaves and... gay people, again, same thing, but this is also, you know, the curriculum or the entity that had sort of allowed the talk of slavery to be made into a math problem.
That's right.
Slavery can be taught in schools, right? And we all know how that affects people. Slavery can be taught in schools, but dancing can't.
Only ballet dancing. Only ballet.
No, it's a dancing and ballet dancing. It's
Only ballet. Only ballet.
Don't know what that one.
Early American Brits with their lace front wigs.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Questions today about censorship and what your children are learning in the classroom. The New York City school system is apparently looking to protect students' feelings. So it has instructed the companies that make the testing that comes to children in the school district to avoid certain words and topics in any of these written tests. The offensive language to be banned includes dinosaur. Apparently people who don't believe in evolution might be offended, the school district believes. Halloween, because it's rumored to support paganism. Birthday can no longer be mentioned on these exams. Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate birthdays, so nobody else should know about it. Dancing is also a taboo word, unless it is ballet dancing. I have no idea why. And computers. You can't mention computers if you're mentioning them being used in homes because of economic sensitivities. You can mention them as being used in schools and libraries, however.
It doesn't get
so scarier. Ballet dancing is allowed.
Yeah,
but
only ballet dancing. No dancing.
Wow.
You can't talk about hip hop. And the birthday thing is just frightening to me. Birthdays?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm a little pissed off.
How can you not be? How can you not be? Most of this is, you know, and again, this is liberal New York City. It's the mecca of liberalism.
No, it's the mecca of stupidity.
Well, I couldn't agree more.
Well, what kind of sensitivity training are they going through? I mean, come on. You can't talk about computers.
No.
You're learning on computers.
It's
what
desensitivity training.
Well, but no, James, it's stupid. You're on a computer learning. Why can't you?
Yeah, they just want numb automatons that They just want number automatons who just sit in a room and zone out counting Lincoln logs. But then again, you can't use Lincoln logs because, you know, you might be a Democrat. So, you know, you don't want to be tied to Lincoln. You know?
Okay, but in Georgia, they're teaching third graders math on how many licks Frederick Douglass had to take.
Yeah.
Or how many oranges the slave
did not, not just see that.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's okay. Slavery is not. Oh yeah, slavery. Yeah, yeah. That's not sensitive at all.
Yeah. Right.
That's not sensitive at all.
People's feelings.
Yeah.
Are they steak? Is that next?
Yeah, can we not talk about steak? Because poor people can't afford steak?
Or how many vegetarians are there now?
Well, right.
Well,
Elijah's
got scented over mutton.
Who? He said he got
scented over mutton.
You got censored over mutton?
Yeah.
Please explain that to me.
Okay. Only in Connecticut.
Yes, it sounds like only in Connecticut.
And East Hartford, too. East Hartford, right around the corner from where we were at, over at Cahoots. They found a sacrifice, some kind of animal sacrifice, right by the edge of the river. Mm. They found a circle of candles this morning and a couple of buckets, a circle of candles, with about maybe 40 candles, and a dead sheep. And the news, local news, posted on their page about, you know, about their findings this morning, and posted a picture of the scene. Of course, the animal was moved. So I asked the question, well, who got all the mutton? Because lamb chops are expensive. And they deleted me.
Wow.
I've gone through that before. They've already sent the request out to the school districts. I'm assuming that it's going to start within the next.
Who sent this out?
Well, apparently the Board of Education in New York City. They're the ones
who
that sent.
Who was in on this board meeting?
Well, the board is run by the mayor of New York City.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
No, that moron. Here we go again.
Bloomberg.
What
come out of his closet.
I mean, and aren't there more pressing issues going on in New York City or in New York City public schools?
I couldn't agree more.
Worrying about whether the word computer is in its S?
Yeah, as long as you don't say computer and other kids don't have a computer at home. That's what the deal is.
But so you can't put it on a test. What about the other kids? So can the teacher say the word at all in the class?
Well, only if they're talking about the computer that is right in front of you.
So it's okay that the school has a computer.
Right, but you cannot talk about computers at home. You cannot say, Susie was on her computer at home. I don't have a computer at home. My feelings are hurt. It's ridiculous.
That's awful.
It's ridiculous because, you know what, the only people whose feelings are getting hurt are the adults. Kids don't even think about that stuff.
The kids don't care. The kids don't care.
Yeah. And well, no. As a matter of fact, at least not when it comes to a doggone test.
Right. They just want to either pass or fail it.
Yeah. Not when it comes to a test. But, you know, you can still let bullying go on. I mean, you can be berated because you don't have the right shoes.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you that, but I just can't put it on a piece of paper.
Exactly.
Well, are they saying that kids in the school can't talk amongst themselves and talk about computers?
Well, sure they can, but it just can't be placed on a test.
And why can't they talk about dinosaurs?
Well, dinosaurs can't be placed on a
test
because of people who may not believe in evolution.
Yeah.
What is it called? Creationism?
Creationism.
Right, versus evolution.
Yeah, creationism versus evolution.
Yeah, so
even though, you know, there's more evidence of dinosaurs than there is of God. But, you know, hey.
You can't talk about it.
Yeah.
And you can't talk about birthdays because Jehovah's Witnesses.
If there's a Jehovah's Witness in the class, they may not understand what a birthday is. Like, what are they living in a rock?
Who doesn't understand what a birthday is, right? Because they living under a rock?
even in the temple that they go to, they learn about that stuff. They learn that they don't celebrate.
Do Jehovah's Witnesses celebrate Christmas?
Yeah.
No.
But wait a minute, Jehovah's Witness, Christ is Jehovah.
They do not celebrate.
So they don't celebrate the birth of Christ?
No.
They don't even celebrate their own birthdays.
Jehovah is not Christ. I mean, well, in evolution, Jehovah is God.
You're right.
Huh.
Yeah, Jehovah is God.
That sounds
Jehovah
is
God. There was no Jesus Christ.
Huh. All right, I don't know much about them. That's probably because I keep ignoring them when they come to my door. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to make a point? I'll go. I was about to go into break.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I apologize. Go ahead. What were you going to say, Mary?
I lost it now.
Thanks, I appreciate it. We'll take a break. We'll be back shortly. It's 3:20, ladies. Stick around. Where you are, don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
In Olympics hit by scandal and deficits, he rescued them. He turned around dozens of companies and became a business legend. A state losing jobs with huge deficits, Governor Mitt Romney turned it around, cutting spending instead of raising taxes. At every step, he's met extraordinary challenges. Mitt Romney, the energy and experience to turn around Washington.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
Hey, guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bleu.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Robert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, Reese, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekday here on blogtalkradio.com.
Simple question. Which candidate gives us the best chance of defeating Barack Obama? The answer? Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum is a full-spectrum conservative. Rock solid on value issues like life, marriage, and the right to own a gun, Santorum is also a favorite of the Tea Party for his efforts fighting corruption and taxpayer abuse in Washington. And Rick Santorum led the fight to overhaul welfare, ending abuse and helping millions go from welfare to work. But that's just the start. Rick Santorum has more foreign policy credentials than any of the candidates. And Rick Santorum's Made in the USA jobs plan will make America an economic superpower again. Rick Santorum, a trusted conservative who not only shares our values, but also gives us the best chance to take back America. Finally, a candidate we can all unite behind. Paid for by Rick Santorum for president.
This is Rick Santorum, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
There's Dr. Oz, there's Dr. Phil, there's Dr. Drew, there's Dr. Joy Brown. It seems like everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to leave it to the real professionals. Call up at 347-308-8701 to give me your take. It's my problem, you deal with it. Right here on Therapy Thursdays on Reese on the Radio, on blogtalkradio.com, weeknights on blogtalkradio.com.
Proven conservative leadership. Newt Gingrich. In uncertain times, we need a leader whose commitment to conservative values has been tested. Newt stood with Ronald Reagan. Newt stood up to Bill Clinton. And Newt was there for conservative values.
But most importantly, Newt has always believed in the greatness of America, that America's best days are ahead. The choice. Newt Gingrich, the proven conservative leader. Winning our future is responsible for the content of this message.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Reese on the Radio, and you know you can get Reese on the Radio anytime you want by logging on to ReeseOnTheRadio.com. That's right. ReeseOnTheRadio.com gives you all the latest news, all the latest stories that I find interesting, and you can also click on to www.ReeseOnTheRadio.com and listen to archives of my new show, which is on BlogTalkRadio.com. That's right. It's www.reeseontheradio.com. You can get all the latest news, all the latest events, and anything else happening in Reese's world. It's Reese on the Radio, and I'm back right here on blogtalkradio.com.
He defends our freedom, and his record shows it. Ron Paul. Answering our country's call, Ron Paul became a flight surgeon in the Air Force. As a doctor, Ron Paul delivered over 4,000 babies and is a leading defender of life in Congress. Ron Paul never voted to raise taxes, never voted for an unbalanced budget, never voted to restrict gun rights or raise congressional pay. Protecting our God-given freedom. Ron Paul for president.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
It's Reese on the Radio, and we're back 31 minutes after the hour on blogtalkradio.com on hump day, March 28, 2012. I know it's the 28th, and it's hard for me to believe that literally we are 28 days. I mean, it was just February yesterday. How the hell did we get through 28 days of March? Like, how did that happen?
That didn't. You're having fun.
I guess I am. I mean, that's, for me, it just seems a little odd that it just, I mean, it's just here. We're about to be into April. Do you know what today is officially? I was wrong about the 25th.
Today is the official.
Today is 1 year since the trial ended. That's official. It actually would have been... Officially, it would have been yesterday. The mistrial would have been called today, 1 year ago, which is frightening to me because I thought I'd have been done with this whole thing by now. And I still got to wait another 2 months before I go back into court. Another two damn months. And I'm sitting up here wondering, like, what the heck's going on? So that means that, now that I think about it, how many 30 days have September, April, June, and November? Okay, so March is 31, right? Right. March is 31. So, okay, so it's the 28th. That means that gives me 3 days, that 9 days from now will be my 1 year anniversary being free. April 6th. Yep.
1 year.
1 year officially. At about 12 noon.
April 6th?
Pardon?
On April 6th?
April 6th is the official day that I walked out of the Manhattan Detention Center last year. Yeah.
Well, that's the day of my oldie but goodie.
Say again?
That's the day of my oldie but goodie dance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And what's with this oldie but goodie thing? I get this memo on Facebook that you're doing this oldie but goodie, and then you call me up and you play one of these songs. What was the name of the song that you played? It's one of those real, real old school R&B jams. And I, no, no, hold on, hold on. Object of my desire. You like that?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's the song
Star Point.
Starpoint.
Starpoint, yes. Yes, Starpoint.
I can't say that I hate the song. I just remember they played it a lot. Here's one request that I have to do. And JC, plug away on the old school jam. But here's one request that I ask of you. I don't always remember who this singer is, but I'm going to horribly do a rendition of his song. Whatever the name of the song is, you know it. They play it at every freaking house party and block party and backyard jam. Okay?
Uh-huh.
You know it. It's, you called and told me that you wanted to leave. What the hell is
that
song?
Hey, Jeff Red.
Jeff Red. I hate that.
That's on my playlist.
It's on your playlist. I hate that.
And for about $1.50, he'll come sing it at your house.
I
seriously. Last time I was down in the city, I forget what club we went to, and he happened to be there that night, and it was unadvertised. He just happened to be there. And the DJ recognized that he was there and stated that he was there and put his song on, and he grabbed the mic and sang with it. We had a concert right then and there.
Okay, you know what?
Jeff Red. That was from...
You know, that's a great story about Jeff Red. If I may, can I tell you a horrible story about another guy who had the same thing happen to him? I'll never forget it.
What's that?
At a nightclub, somebody's standing in the crowd, dancing, having a good time. People know who he is. A couple of girls are dancing with him, checking him out. And sure enough, they put on his record. The record that they, I don't even remember which record it was, but I know that it was his. It was Father MC. And they put on his record, and they did not scream. He actually hung his head in shame and walked away.
Wow.
He hates his record.
I was a huge Father MC fan.
Are you kidding me?
I was huge into Father MC.
Father MC, that was Treat Him Like a Lady, wasn't it?
Something
treat
like that.
Treat them like
yeah.
they want to be treated.
That's the one.
Yeah, that was Jodeci, right?
Yes, that's right. They sang the hook on that, exactly. That was actually a perfect pairing, because if Jodeci could rap, they'd be Father MC. They were absolutely annoying.
I take it you weren't a Domino fan either.
I hated Domino. Domino,
you would.
Let me put it to you this way. Let me explain to you who Domino is. Domino's career was murdered. Domino's career was murdered by the classic crooner named Nate Dogg. You can't deny it.
Yeah, you're right.
He was the one who made that. He made that gangster stuff. Domino thought he was Nate Dogg. But Nate Dogg put that but the rest. Just like Biggie destroyed Kwame when he said your ass played out like them effing polka dots.
R. Kelly destroyed Aaron Hall.
Yes, R. Kelly did put a...
And Avant in one fell swoop.
He put boots to Aaron Hall. He destroyed him.
Yeah.
But even Kwame says that when that line came out, that your stylist played out like Kwame and those effing polka dots, even Kwame said, damn, I can't make another record.
Yeah, he's done after that one.
His career was ruined. One fell
swoop. But Sweet Potato Pie? Oh, my God. That was the jam.
Who the hell is that?
The ghetto jam here in Connecticut?
Sweet Potato Pie?
Yeah.
Who sang Sweet Potato Pie?
Domino.
Nobody cares about this guy. So what other music are you going to play? Who?
Are you going to have Juicy Fruit?
M2M?
Juicy Fruit?
Yeah, we have M2M Juicy Fruit. we got Anita Ward.
You can ring my bell.
Holy goody.
Are you kidding me? Are you really going to play that woman?
Yeah, it's an oldie but goodie.
But I thought there was going to be a timeline. I thought there was going to be a timeline that you were going to adhere to, like songs only from the 80s or songs only from the 90s. You're just like, are you doing
late,
like two,
late,
three
late
decades?
Late 70s, 80s, 90s.
How about
in the 2000s.
So you're going to be, so there's going to be like Sounds of Blackness, right?
He ain't playing Sounds of Blackness. Nobody dances to them.
No. Yeah,
well,
optimistic.
Wait.
That's gospel.
No. They had that one jam that was hot.
Mm-hmm.
Optimistic.
Yeah, optimistic. That's
Sounds
a hot beat.
Or Soul to Soul.
Right, please don't.
Yeah, there is some Soul to Soul.
Yeah.
There is some Sybil.
Thinking about Soul to Soul.
Soul to Soul.
That song, I Want to Thank You My Heavenly Father on there.
Of course he's going to play that.
Yeah.
I want to thank you, Heavenly Father.
Stop singing. Anything else horrible you're
going to
play?
I don't know. We got 19 minutes. I'm going to upload one. I'll give you about 15 seconds of it.
Yeah, find some old horrible song that you are going. And make it sure it's one of those songs that I completely hate.
Like the Mary.
No, I don't mind them. I just don't like the song. I don't mind the Mary Jane Girls.
Mary Jane Girls.
Oh, Mary Jane Girls. Oh, yeah. Vanity.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Not my only but goodie.
Play some Vanity 6. That's some great music.
Not at my only but goodie.
I mean, if you want to play, you want to play some hot old school, man. You know, play my old favorites. Come on.
Oh, that's on the list. That's on the list.
That's on the list. That's on the list.
Yeah, that's on the list.
Gosh,
that is awesome. Definitely on the list.
I know you better be playing some new editions.
Absolutely. I really couldn't have an old school jam without him.
Are you gonna play?
Who?
Please don't play that.
Are you going to play Mr. Telephone Man?
Please don't
Mr.
play that.
No.
I know you're playing this. It wouldn't be a black party because I know it's a black party.
Hey.
Lord. Ain't no stopping the town, baby.
The sad part about that, the song is by a two-man group called McFadden and Whitehead. Do you know what really hurts me about this whole story about them?
What's that?
Whitehead, you know, got shot and killed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in a drive-by. Do you know what that means? Apparently, do you know what that means?
What's that?
Apparently, there's a way to stop them.
He's terrible.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I know you're gonna play that.
You are horrible.
I want to hear some Billy Ocean.
Absolutely horrible.
He's not going to play some Billy Ocean. Please don't tell me you're going to play Billy Ocean. Okay, Caribbean.
My father would not forgive me.
Caribbean Queen.
My father would not forgive me if I don't. No. As a matter of fact, I have a mix that has Caribbean Queen, African Queen, European Queen.
Wait. How did you manage to get, African Queen, who sang that?
Billy Ocean. It's a mix of African Queen.
Oh, so he sings different
Caribbean
versions.
Queen.
He sings different versions
of the song. He starts out in the Caribbean, then he goes to Africa, and then he goes to European Queen.
So he eventually gets to the white women.
Yeah, eventually.
Good move, Billy Ocean.
He gets to the white women. Hey, but,
Jeffrey Osborne.
Oh, please. He's got
why don't you, why don't you refresh?
What are you going to play? The Woo 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 record?
Are you going to play Cameo?
Oh, well,
you got to play Cameo.
Now, listen,
yeah,
you can play Cameo.
Play
I don't have a problem with you playing Cameo, but you are not allowed to play Word Up.
That was one of the best songs.
No, it's not.
Ah,
no, it isn't.
Candy.
Candy. Ooh. All right. Candy.
It's like candy.
Oh, you know what? I refreshed, but I lost everything. Play the darn song you got on there. I want to hear this.
Hold on, I lost everything too.
You can play Candy, but you cannot play. You know, you can play Back and Forth, Candy, but you cannot play Word Up.
Word Up was like the most popular.
No kidding. The only reason why it was popular is because every wedding I ever been to, some white band was up on stage playing it. Come on, friend, I like days around the world. Every white person I know in the world knows that song.
He's gone to a lot of white weddings. Surprising, not many of them don't know.
did you lose your buttons, dude?
I lost my everything. I lost the whole kit.
I think we're stuck on the air.
Oh, we're not stuck on the air. No, it'll end. We just can't play any audio.
Oh, I know. Control. I can't shut James' mic off.
We can't touch it.
All right, so let's just do our own audio. Back to Billy Ocean. Hey, you.
We're not singing.
Get into my car.
That was the absolute worst idea.
That was the stalker system. Yeah.
Listen to me. Anytime somebody mentions Billy Ocean, I always reference that song because it was the song that killed his career. Hey, you, get into my car. Get you. I'm like, who does that to abroad on a regular basis? They're like, to me? Yes, you.
Except for Teddy Pendergrass, but he yells and screams at him.
Teddy Pendergrass, yep, scared the panties of him.
but I mean, come on. Here's a guy who talks about driving.
Turn off the lights. Turn them off.
Here's a guy who drives up to you in a car and says, hey, you, get into my car. Yes, you. They didn't have cell phones.
Hey, Reese.
What's up?
Try this one.
Okay. All right, I'll give you a pop.
What's that?
Only reason, musically, I like that song. I'm just not a Marvin Gaye fan.
Oh, my God.
I'm not a Marvin Gaye fan. I also don't like blind musicians or handicapped musicians.
Look at my face.
I'm not touching that one.
Wow.
I'm not touching that one.
What? I just don't. I'm not impressed with Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, or Jose Feliciano. I don't care about them. I mean, we get it. You're blind and you can play an instrument. All right, big deal.
I just stuck a picture up on my wall of John Cena giving the "You Can't See Me" signal to Stevie Wonder.
that's awful.
I don't know who photoshopped. Listen, I don't know who photoshopped this. But this is by far the best piece of work I've seen to date of Photoshop works.
What, John Cena and Stevie Wonder?
I mean, the lighting on it is just right. The shadows, everything is perfect. And Stevie Wonder is standing up. They have huge, huge that huge yellow Kool-Aid smile of his with his head ready to rock back and forth, and Cena's in front of him with five hands up going back and forth with that "you can't see me."
Yeah, do me a favor. Find another horrible song that I can enjoy.
another horrible
Snap.
Song that he can enjoy.
Yeah, you're going to play "I Got the Power" by Snap.
That's another staple. Gotta have the Frankie Beverly, man.
Now, that drags him out on the floor, too.
Listen to me. For some odd reason, I've automatically got a craving for watermelon and fried chicken. I don't know how it happened.
You gotta have the Frankie Beverly Amaze, man. Come on.
Come on. Do you have to play that? It would be a better party if you didn't play it, because then they would go, okay, here's my question, okay? You know what I'm saying? People play Frankie, Beverly, and Maze the way that morons play "You're My Wifey" at a wedding reception. I hate and Jagged Edge's "Let's Get Married." I hate those songs. Which song do you like? Do you like the good song. This is a good song. I like that.
Okay, now, here's something that you're really going to hate, and I know.
What's that?
I know you're going to hate, or he's going to hate, but it is a staple at every block party, barbecue, wedding reception. You have to play the Electric Slide.
Not at my dance.
Yeah, please do not play that old pathetic one. "You can see it. It's electric." You hate it.
No, you will not. You will not electric. You will not cha-cha. You will not keep the shuffle at anything that I'm given. I don't care if you're from DJ and you're a wedding.
Okay, yeah, right.
Jake, do you remember the block party you, Kelly, Brittany, and myself went to? I don't know whose party it was, but I know Kelly's mom was there. And we went to the block party, and I got on the street and was doing the Electric Slide and had the whole crowd rolling.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why I do it, because I make a clown out of that song. I hate it. I hate that song more than anything, the Electric Slide. And that cha-cha slide is worse.
I can't stand that one, but here's another one for you.
I don't even know how it goes anymore. Two times.
Oh. I like it.
Okay, like the guy.
Yeah, Aaron Hall. There you go, Aaron Hall.
Okay, fair enough.
Teddy Riley.
Okay, listen. There are other songs by Guy you can play other than the average staple. There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not answering that. What the hell am I going to call me before 10 o'clock?
Now, listen, here's a song that you could play. I played this for Mary the other day, and I knew she was going to love this song. You got to play "After Party" by Coffee Brown.
Who the hell is that?
Oh, my God. Really? You don't know that song?
I don't know.
What about "Glamorous Life"?
Dude, just look it up. It's Coffee Brown. It's called "After Party." It's produced by Teddy Riley.
Really?
Dude, the crowd will go nuts.
No. You know what they're going to go nuts for? This right here.
Thank you. know who this garbage is.
Are you serious?
Who the hell is that?
Know that. No.
Who is that? Is that Guy?
You gotta be kidding. That is Bobby Brown. I'll be good to you.
Oh, no, dude. Nobody talks about that song anymore. You got to listen to me. Look up After Party by Coffee Brown, and Coffee Brown spelled with a K.
After Brown. After Brown. After Party, Coffee Brown.
Yeah, After Party by Coffee Brown is produced by Teddy Riley. When you listen to this song, you can't tell me that the crowd that you are going to be spinning records for isn't going to get out on the dance floor. Everything about that song is hot.
Are you going to have the Jets on your
playlist? Wow.
What did she say?
What would she say?
Let's see what's in the background now.
Wait, she said, are you going to play the Jets? You remember them?
The Jets. Oh, wow.
Yeah, their sister was Mount Fuji.
Wait, what about
me? From Glow.
it was not Mount Fuji. It was Mountain Fuji.
No.
From Glow.
JC, are you
going to
play Lisa Pearl Jam?
Ooh.
No, it's not a Puerto Rican
Which
party.
One?
Lisa and Cold Jam. UTS.
I wonder if I take you home. Yeah, that'll work.
No, it won't.
Yes, it will.
No, you got to have people
about,
doing
Glamorous Life.
That's dark.
Know who that is?
No, who is that?
That's Today. That was Gene Griffin when he left Guy. He took some Guy's old tracks and gave them to Big Bub.
If you're going to play the group Today, you have to play the song called Him, Me.
Him or Me, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the very first.
Him, or do you want me?
Yeah.
was
playing on the ride on the Music Express in Coney Island, and this girl's bees flew out
of her head, and we were thinking, is it hair or weed? Why are you getting funky on me? That was all right. That wasn't a great song. Find the damn Coffee Brown record.
What about Glamorous Life?
You mean by Sheila E?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to get into the crowd.
No.
That kills the crowd.
No.
No, we did like
the closest we're gonna come to. The closest we're gonna come to Prince is Morris Day Fishnet.
Fishnet, okay. Black pantyhose. That was jam.
That's as far as we. That's as close to Prince as we get for an oldie but goodie.
That was jam. You're not gonna play Ice Cream
right.
Castle.
New Edition.
No, we're gonna play 777-9311.
That's the jam right
there. Oh yeah,
that's the jam. Come on now, come on, check this out.
This right here.
Yeah.
Now who is this by?
Coffee Brown.
Coffee Brown.
This is Teddy Riley produced?
That's right. This is a big record, man.
Yeah, I remember it wasn't a huge hit. I never knew the name of it.
That's a big record, my man.
You know who I actually thought this was?
Who'd you think it was?
I thought that this was Donnell Jones.
No. In fact, back in my Hot 97 days, it was exposed that the male singer is alternate, if you get my meaning.
Oh. Orange Juice Jones walking in the ring.
Oh, now you're talking.
Yes, yes. I saw you and him walking in the rain.
So, JC, so April 6th, where's it going to be? We only got 10 seconds.
In Hartford, Connecticut, 2121 Main, the Hartford, and that's the American Legion Social Club.